You know, as we were singing there just now, this thought came to mind that not everyone can sing this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Only those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior can really sing this with such a sense of assurance. Because those who don't know Christ do not have that sense of assurance. And I'm so thankful that we are reminded this morning and that we can sing that "It Is Well With My Soul." And I trust and pray that it has also been a blessing to your heart. And this morning we are going to look at Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. And the passage that we are going to be reading is also taken from the English Standard Version. So feel free to read any version that you have. I think there's a Bible in the pew as well. But before we do, I would ask if we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask His blessing upon His word. Father, we thank You this morning, God, that we can acknowledge here this morning that it is well with our soul. Lord, there is such a sense of assurance that when we sing that, God, because we know in whom we believe. And like the Apostle Paul says, we are persuaded that You are able to keep, Lord. And that's the assurance that You have given us, God, that not only do we have this assurance, but God, You've given us the assurance that we will one day see You face to face. And Lord, that is why we can sing this morning and acknowledge and declare, God, that we sing with such sense of assurance. Thank You, Lord, for Your word this morning, God. Thank You for Your living word and Your written word. And so we pray this morning and ask, Lord, that You will, even at this point in time, open up our understanding as we hear from You, as we allow Your Holy Spirit to speak to us. God, each and every one of us are here this morning, but each and every one of us have different experiences and our journey has been different, but yet again, our God is the same. The Holy Spirit is the same. And so we pray, God, this morning that whatever You are, whatever You have in store, God, that You will make known Your ways to us this morning through Your word. We give thanks to You and we give praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. And it says here, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart." And this is Jesus speaking. And he said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to this effect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?' Jesus said, 'I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is God's word. May God bless the reading of His word this morning. Now, in this passage that we are reading here this morning, there are two parables for those of you who may have read this chapter in the past. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, there are two parables. The first is addressed to Jesus' disciples, which is what we just read. And the other is right after that, which is the second parable, and it addressed to the unrighteous. And Jesus himself, in verse 9, have these words to say. In the second parable, he says, "He told them this parable to some who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and treated others with contempt." So there are these two parables, one after the other. One is addressed to Jesus and to Jesus' disciple, and the other to those that are outside of Christ, those that are living a self-righteous life, a life that are more centered around themselves and in their own self-righteousness. And we're not going to look at the second part of that parable, maybe some other time, but this morning we're going to focus on this one parable that Jesus really explained to his disciple about an unjust judge and a widow. And the parable itself is just a simple parable where this woman, this widow, came to this judge to receive justice from him, so that as she plead her case, he can really listen to her. But as the scripture said, the unjust judge or the unrighteous judge refused to listen to her. It is until that she continues to just keep coming at him and coming at him, and day after day and night after night, without giving up, that he really give in to her plead and listen to her case. And before we look at chapter 8, this passage itself, this parable itself, is a continuation from what Jesus was saying to his disciples in the previous chapter, in chapter 17. And I'm just going to read a few passages there so that we get understand this parable that we're looking at in the context of why Jesus brought this parable out to his disciples. And verse 30 in Luke 17, it says, "So will it be on that day, on the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And this is Jesus speaking, and he's telling them about the last day, or in the latter days, that day when the Lord will come and the Lord will put in his appearance. Verse 31 says, "On that day," Jesus said, "let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in his house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not to turn back." Remember, he says, remember Lot's wife. And he's pointing back all the way back into the Old Testament. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life or to keep his life, Jesus said, they will lose it. But whoever loses his life will find it or will keep it. And Jesus said, I tell you, in that night, first he talks about that day, and then he said, in that night there will be two in the bed. One will be taken away and the other left behind. There will be two women grinding together in the field. One will be taken and one will be left behind. And they said to him, his disciples, where's the Lord? And he said to them, where's the corpse? There's the vulture will gather them. And the point to Jesus' message to his disciple, those whom he was talking to, about that day and that night, that there is going to come this day where there is going to be a complete separation between the righteous and the unrighteous, between the saved and the unsaved. And the scripture, not only did Jesus give that, but all the other Bible writers also talk about the day of the Lord. The Old Testament talks about the day of the Lord. The New Testament fulfilled that coming of the day of the Lord, which is the coming of Jesus. And then Jesus himself talks about another day, this day that the Lord will come, which is his second coming. The second coming of Christ speaks of his return. And no one knows the time, no one knows the hour, the Bible says, when Jesus will come again. But the point of this story is that Jesus said, on that day when he comes, many will be unprepared for his coming. Many, two will be on the field, two will be on the housetop, two will be in their bed. One will be taken, which means that there is only one that is saved. If both of them are saved, then both of them will be taken. But he says there is going to be this division between the righteous and the unrighteous. You see, this the spiritual truth that Jesus wanted his disciple, when we look at the parable here this morning, and the point that he was trying to get over to them between the unjust judge and this widow, this truth that Jesus wanted his disciples to know is that it is this need for persistent prayer, and it is this need for continuing to trust him and to continue to lean on his word and his promises. Not persistent in prayer in things that we desire. When Jesus talks about persistent in prayer, it's not the things that we desire so much to accumulate here. But it's to remain faithful until he comes. That persistent as believers in Christ is that we persevere unto the end. We strive. We do everything that God has done for us so that we walk humbly and justly. We walk in obedience to his word. And even when you look back in the history of our world, you have heard people say, 2,000 years, Jesus has promised that he will come, but he's not showing up. The Bible says no one knows the time nor the hour. And I have had friends who said, well, you preach this gospel about Jesus coming, but he hasn't shown up. And you know what? People are going to be discouraged. People are going to wonder. And we're going to continue to hear such statement. But the Bible stay true to its word that none of us will ever know that. And Jesus said his coming will be, it's like a thief in the night. No one will know. But yet again, he will come. But the point to this story is that to his disciple, that they must be prepared. I mean, some time ago, we will look at the five wise and the 10 virgins. You know, the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Those who walk with oil in their lamp were prepared for the coming of their master or the bridegroom. And there are so many examples in Scripture where the Bible talks about how we as believers in Christ should live our lives and to walk in obedience to Christ's coming, even though they are disappointment, even though they are things that this world will throw at us. It's the point that we must not give up, but to continue to persevere unto the end. And for me, it's always a hurtful feeling when I hear of folks who are no longer, and this is personal to myself, when I talk to people as a minister or as a friend, I have family and I have friends, I have folks who I've came across, and one of the sad things, even as I go out in other churches and preach as well, one of the sad things that I keep hearing is that some folks will say that they are hurting because their loved ones is not walking with the Lord, or they have fallen from grace, or they are sad because their children are not walking, or they are sad because their grandchildren are not walking with the Lord, and it seems as if when people are saying these things and they're reflecting back on those who are not walking with God, it seems sometimes like those who walk away from God or not following after the Lord, that they've claimed that God has given up on them. And I'm certain that maybe many of us that are here today know of people who have felt that in their heart. You have heard that statement, or maybe you are at that place where you felt that God has given up on your family or on your loved one or someone that you know. But God hasn't given up on anyone, brothers and sisters. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were on vacation, and they came and they visited us, and we were just talking, and she said, that she believed God, that she failed God. And I said, what do you mean that you have failed God? And her response was, because I think God must have given up on me, or God has been disappointed with me. And I turned to her and I said, why would you say that God has given up on you or God is disappointed with you? I mean, if you know of the God whom we serve, I don't believe this is how we are going to look at him. And I said to her, if God is disappointed with you, I said basically to her, just look this morning or at the time when we were talking, and I says, if God has truly been disappointed with you or given up with you, you would not have even been talking to me. One is the grace of God that has given you life. From the time you wake up in the morning, look at the grace that has been manifested to you. that has been given to you. And I said, God hasn't given up on you. God is not disappointed with you. And I think that she felt that because she was maybe praying to God, maybe seeking the Lord, maybe trying to get things sorted out in her life, that she felt that God was nowhere to be found. But it doesn't mean that God is not hearing, or it doesn't mean that God does not care. And so my words to her was just, look around and there is grace everywhere. It is God's grace that has given us breath. It is God's grace that has given us life. And it is God's grace why we are here this morning. If God has truly given up on us, we would not have been here, brothers and sisters. And so I encourage her not to give up on God, because God hasn't given up on her. And the opening verse in this passage that we read this morning, this is Jesus' word to us. He says, he told his disciples this parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Lose heart means that they're not to give up, not to faint, not to just let go, not to just throw in the towel and says, well, God is nowhere to be found. You see, the Israelites in those days, in Jesus' day, and maybe today, they were so accustomed to having judges. And this is the reason why that when Jesus speaks in parables, it is always in relation to things that they know, that they can look at and they can see. But there is always this deep spiritual truth that Jesus wants to bring out. And not all of Jesus' parable, he will explain the parable to them. In this parable, he did explain the parable. In other parables, there is no explanation. And what is unique about this parable is that Jesus uses the very simple things that they could relate to, the judge. Judges in those days used to be in larger cities. At least 23 judges used to be in a larger city. These judges were set up and they were given power to listen to cases and court cases and people concerned. But in the smaller civilian cases, the cities, they were these lesser judges, or the Sanhedrin. They were these places where it was not highly populated. So maybe where this Jesus was using this example with the widow and the judge was not that complex, was not that complicated. And so the disciples and those who listened to Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. They could relate to this judge in this city and to the widow. Now, what is also interesting about this story here is that when you look at your Bible, it will say the unjust judge. Jesus called him the unrighteous judge. Because the reason why Jesus used this example, because that was the norm of the day. The judges were very unrighteous. They were very unjust. They were not doing their work. They were not adhering to the command of Moses. They were not following. They were crooked. And even in this case here, this judge here did say to himself that he neither feared God nor respected man. He had no desire for the things of God. He had no desire or care for others. He was so unjust, so unrighteous, and so self-centered that it's all about him. And it is very clear in this passage here that there is no room for God. There is no place for God. And not even for his own fellow men. Which is why Jesus said he was unrighteous. And described him as being unjust. And so this morning, you know, when we look at what Jesus was explaining about this judge and the condition of his heart, I mean, that was 2,000 years ago, and there are still people who are living their lives in that same way as well. Have no desire for God. Even for their fellow men, they are so self-centered, they are so unrighteous. I mean, when you look at this judge, if he was truly someone that cared, he would have remembered the passage in Exodus, because most of these judges were familiar with the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses says, especially when it comes to a widow, you shall not mistreat a widow or the fatherless. In Deuteronomy, Moses again says, he execute justice for the fatherless and the widow. And here in our passage, verse 3, it says, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to this judge. So he was completely refusing and rejecting and turning a blind eye to the very least in community, the very poor of the poorest, which is someone who had no one. In this case, this woman here that Jesus is talking about had no one. That is the reason why she was pleading her case over and over and over again. Hear what James says, if for us that are here this morning. James says in 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Not only did the Old Testament put emphasis on the poor and the needy and the widow and those that are the very least in our community that we may feel, but even the New Testament also never ignored that command, continue to follow through with it and put emphasis on the widow and the poor. And we see the disciples them also were doing that consistently in the New Testament. For this widow to go and plead her case before a judge meant that she had one. First thing, if we are looking at this passage carefully, the first thing you will notice is that she had no male figure in her life to represent her. Therefore, she had to take the case in her own hand. The custom of those days, if you have a widow and she had a male figure in her life, whether it's a far distant cousin or a family or a relative or someone close, they were the ones who were going to take the case to the judge and plead it for her. But the scripture clearly says, and Jesus clearly says, she had no one to do so for her. No male figure to represent her. And it was, in those days, it was a male-dominated community. And being a widow with no male figure to stand with her or for her meant that her voice was being silent, which is the reason why this unjust judge took advantage of her. One, that she was not a male and she was not worthy to stand before him. Two, because she had no one. And three, it's because, you know, she was least of his concern. And it felt that she was silent. She had no voice. She couldn't speak. No one was listening to her. There was no one to plead her case. Can you imagine what it's like to live in silence this morning? Or when your voice is not being heard? And this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples, using this parable to really drive home this truth. Jesus said that this widow was not going to give up. Even though she knew that she had no male, her voice was not being heard, she felt being consistently being ignored, Jesus said that she was not willing to give up. She was willing to persist. No matter how many times she has been rejected, she was not going to stop bringing her case until something was done. Is done about it. Something, some action had to be taken. And she was literally, when you read, it says she was literally pestering this unjust judge. Night and day, she's showing up at his door, showing up at him over and over again. She was not willing to give up. She was going to weary him out, which is what the scripture says, which is what Jesus said. And the unjust judge confessed that. He says he has to listen to her. This woman was not willing to just throw in the towel. and to give up. Verse 4 says, for a while he refused, the judge refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down. She was not wearing me out by her continual coming. So how many times, and I'm just going to take a minute to ask this question, how many of us have been at that place or such a place in our lives at least once? I'm not pointing fingers at anyone, but just so that you can reflect back on where you came from and where you are in your life today. Have you been at such a place in your life? Or have you known someone who have been in such a situation or that place in their life where you are not willing to give up no matter what? And you continue to persist, you continue to press on, you continue to trust God. Have you been at that place where everything was working against you, but yet again, you are not going to give up, you are not willing to just throw in the towel? Or the opposite can be true as well. For those of you who look at your situation, knows where you are, and knows in the God in whom you believe, and you just continue to trust Him to see you through. Even though there was no light at the end of the tunnel, you still pressed on and you still trust God no matter what it is. And then all of a sudden, God, the Lord, came through in that situation in your life. Or the opposite can be true, where you just look at your situation and say to yourself, you know what? I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to throw in the towel. And that friend that I told you the other day that I was talking to, she was at that place where she was willing to just throw in the towel, really to give up on God because she felt that God has given up on her. And there are people who just give up on God. Because one, maybe because they're praying and they're not here, they're feeling that their prayers are not being answered. And they're not willing to just keep trying and keep trusting in Him. And we do that sometimes, brothers and sisters, that when we are faced with situation, sometimes we treat God as if God is not able to deal with our problems. That our problems are much more bigger than God. But we serve this amazing God. All He was saying to His disciples and using this story is not to give up. That He is not nowhere to be found, but He is in everywhere to be seen. And it is a reminder to us this morning, brothers and sisters, that no matter where you are in your journey with the Lord, God wants you to continue. God wants you not to give up on Him. And I believe that Jesus was using this passage of Scripture, this parable, to really also help His disciples to understand that when He leave them, when He depart from them, and He's no longer going to be with them in person and they're going to be with Him, that there is going to come persecution, there is going to come rejection, there is going to come so many things that the world will turn their back against them like they have done to Him. And He was preparing them and preparing their hearts so that in times of difficulty, in times of pain and in struggle and in hardship and whatever word we can use to describe that, Jesus was saying, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. And it's the same word that are encouraging to us this morning, brothers and sisters, that we're not to throw in and not to give up. Matthew says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. And John says in 1 John that this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, Bible says that He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked. And maybe it not be an immediate answer. Maybe the answer may be prolonged, but it doesn't mean that God will not answer our prayer. But I love the words of the Apostle Paul, so that it is an encouragement to us, that the Apostle Paul picks up from knowing Christ. And he says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." No suffering, no pain, no hardship, no trials, no temptation can compare, Paul says, our suffering with the glory that will be revealed to us on that day when Christ comes. And that is the reason why we live our life, brothers and sisters, in obedience to Christ and His Word, and to press on and to trust Him. And the focus of this passage of Scripture this morning was to be steadfast, is to continue to trust God and to seek Him. And if you have a loved one this morning, or a friend or a family, someone that you know, and they're not walking with the Lord, and you feel disappointed about that, and you have been praying but you're not seeing answers, I want to encourage you, don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up on seeking God for them. You do your part, and God will do His part. Remain faithful, remain steadfast in prayer. Paul says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be patient in tribulation, but be constant in prayer. Then Paul again, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And then again, he will say, pray without ceasing. Let us not give up on God, because He hasn't given up on us. So this morning, I would just like to remind us to continue to stay steadfast in our walk and our relationship with Christ. And because there's so many people those who don't know Christ struggle. They struggle. But we as believers in Christ have this hope in us. That's why this morning you and I can just lift our voices and sing, "It is well with my soul," because we know the God in whom we serve. Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ that lives in me." He said, "The life I live, I don't live it after the flesh to please it, but I live my life in such a way so that it reflects Christ." And that's what we are encouraged to do, brothers and sisters. So I want to encourage you this morning to continue to seek Him, to continue to stay firm, to continue to stay faithful. And if there's anything that you're praying for and you're trusting God for, but you're not seeing the answer, you're not getting the answer, you're not seeing as if God is responding to it, I just want to encourage you this morning not to give up, but just to continue to persevere. Amen? Let us pray. Father, this morning, God, we are so reminded again of this parable that you speak of the unjust judge and the widow. God, the need for us to persist in prayer, persist in our faith, persist in walking humbly and righteous before you, God. Lord, even though there are times when we are discouraged, even though there are going to be times when we're not getting the answer to what we may be praying for. And Lord, I know, Father, that many of us are at such a place in our lives where we are trusting for a loved one, or there is a situation in our life, or whatever the case may be this morning. God, you're reminding us to continue to trust you, in you and in you alone. The same words that you gave to your disciples to continue in prayer and to continue to trust without losing heart. I pray for those that are here this morning and for those that will listen to this message during the week, God, that if they are at that place in their life, God, it is a reminder to them, your voice, your word is speaking to us not to lose faith, not to lose heart, but to continue to trust you. And like the Apostle Paul, God, we take that word this morning and like he said, that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. Yes, our situation may look as if there is no hope. Yes, we may feel at such a place in our life at times. But God, we are rest assured this morning that your words are true and that your word is amen. And Lord, you are reminding us again this morning that you are the one who take our hands and you're the one that guides our feet and lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, we can rest assured, like the psalmist David, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thou art with us, your rod and your staff. God, you comfort us and you uphold us, and you lead us by your Spirit. And so I pray this morning that you will comfort the heart of your people, each and every one of us, those that are here and those that are not here this morning. We continue to give you praise and give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen.